You know, without further ado, I want to welcome Sean. But just let me tell you about this guy. Sean has been a friend to this house. He's one of our Liberty leaders. But this guy, he loves the Lord. And he serves in the Lighthouse. And he's passionate about the Lighthouse. You know, and this guy is passionate about God. And you know what, Sean? We love you in this house. We love all that you do. He serves the nation. He serves the homeless. He serves the brokenness out in this land. And you know what, Sean? We just want to honor you here this morning for all that you do in this nation. Can I ask everybody to stand and let's give Sean a round of applause. Amen. Come on. Give us the word. Breathe it to us. All right.
Thanks very much. All right, Bueno. All right. Thanks very much. Stop that. All right. So 7 years ago, nearly 7 years ago, was the first time I ever walked through the doors of this church with Tig Lynn, Teen Challenge. And I sat over there, and Jordan the Worship, every single thing inside of me was screaming, "Get over here, run." And I wanted to run more than anything in the world, but I didn't, you know. And the heading for this word today is entering the throne room of grace. You know, that day I wanted a leg over here, you know, and today I'm standing here preaching to you. Isn't that amazing? Like, that's just God's grace all over my life, basically, you know. but I'm not really going to start there. I just want to pray first to the Lord. And, you know, I don't get nervous when I preach anymore. I really don't, because I don't rely on me. I'm confident in Jesus, to be quite honest with you. It's Him that's going to do everything here today. And I've preached tons of times, but I'm going to grab my knees today, honor God, and submit my life to Him one more time, because I just felt to do that today. So, Heavenly Father, I just thank You for my life, Almighty God, and I thank You, Father, for Your grace and Your Son, Jesus Christ, in my life. And I thank You, Lord God, not just from the day I stepped in through the doors of this church, Lord, but from the day I was even conceived in my mother's womb, Lord, You were always with me, Lord Jesus, and I thank You for that, Lord God. And I thank You, Lord, for what You're about to do here today, and I thank You, Lord, for Your powerful testimony through all of our lives, Lord, not just mine, the whole church is a whole almighty God, and I thank You, Lord God, that Jordan worshiped, Lord, that You stepped right down into this church, Lord God, that You, Lord Jesus, stepped right down in amongst us, Lord God, and it says in Your word that You inhabit the praises of Your people, Lord, and I thank You, Lord, for allowing me to see that this morning, Lord, and I thank You, Lord, for the prophecy that was spoken over this house this morning, Lord God, and the confidence that this church has in You, Lord Jesus, Lord God. And we thank You, we praise You. I just pray, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit come, fill me and fill this place, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that every distraction be silenced in Jesus Christ's name. I pray a holy firewall of protection around this place. And I pray that Your holy oil, Lord, Your anointing, Lord, just flow, Lord, from me to others, Lord, through the whole church, Almighty God. And I thank You for that, Holy Abba Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I know there's people here for the first time in church, and I'm delighted to see us here. You know, it really, really puts a joy in my heart when you work with people for years and they've never been in a Christian church before, and then they come this morning. So I really appreciate you honoring me by coming here. And I know you came here because He's grown me so well, and it really honors me this morning. That honors God, and that's the most important thing in my life, is honoring God, as Louise said, you know. So the heading of this message is, as I said, entering the throne room of grace. 4 weeks ago, my mother died, and the last 4 weeks have been the toughest time of my life, you know. And I'd say about 2 months before my mother died, I emailed Rob Duff, and I said, "Look, take me off the preaching schedule because my mother's dying and I'm not in a great place." So he took me off it. And then my ma died, and then Noel Kenny texts me 6 days later, and he says, "I want you to preach in RD Street." I was like, "What?" Reading the text message, "Is he serious or what?" So as I was reading on the message, he says, "I want you to talk on entering the throne room of grace." And I thought, wow, what a powerful, powerful heading for any sermon. Like, so I says to God straight away, I says, "God, what will I say to them?" And he says, "Sean," he says, "you tell them that they're in the throne room of grace. From the day they were conceived in their mother's womb to this very day, and to when they go on into eternity with Him." You know, as it says, you know, my mommy died 4 weeks ago. When I was a young kid, I never really had a childhood growing up with my mother. I ran away from home when I was 14 because my dad was violent. And before that, I never really had much relationship with my ma because she had seven kids. She had a lot on her hands, like seriously, seven of us and half was on Madden anyway. And so, you know, I never really had much time with my growing up as a kid. And then coming up into the years when my ma was passing away, she got really, really sick a year ago. And she was on morphine. She was really, really bad in the hospital. And she was going in for an operation. So they put her on the operation table. They marked her up for the operation. And the surgeon came in and looked at her and says, get her off the table. She's not going to make it, you know. She was that bad. She was. So when I got the phone call and was told this, God says to me straight away, very, very clearly, he's not giving you more time with your ma. The very next morning, my ma was off morphine. She was grand, brand new. Off home, she went the next day. You know, and for the last year, God has given me a year with my ma to spend time right and get to know her. You know, and I've had an amazing year with my ma. I really, really have, you know. And when I read the heading of the sermon, Entering the Throne Room of Grace, that's exactly it right there. Was God giving me something like, when you look up grace on the internet, the explanation of it is to get something you don't deserve. But grace is so much more than that. God's grace is so, so much more than that. In every single area of our lives, there's grace. It doesn't matter what you're going through in life, God's grace is always there for that. You know, and this morning I just want to ask you personally in your own, for yourselves, like, what does grace mean to you? You know, what does grace look like in your life? You know, I've been a Christian the last 7 years. I always knew about God's grace, but I never really knew about God's grace till I actually lived out of that grace. And in the last 4 weeks, I've lived out of God's grace more than I have in the last 7 years. I really, really mean that. And the other day, I stopped in the kitchen and I said, I was making a fry, by the way. I stopped and I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, what's going on? Like, why am I going through all this? And he said, Sean, he says, if you want to talk about my grace, he says, you have to live out of my grace. You know, and that God's grace is there for us to live out of as Christians. You know, Jesus came to fulfill the law. So therefore, you're under no condemnation for anything that goes on in your lives. Every single area in your life is covered by grace, by Jesus Christ going to the cross for every single one of us. For those who believe and for those who don't believe, he loves us all just the same. He wants us all to believe, every single one of us. You know, he has great plans for our lives. In Genesis 37:1-18, is on the screen. No scriptures. Well, it doesn't matter. I'll read it out anyways. In Genesis 37:1-18, it's a story about Joseph. And Joseph was a young guy back in Genesis. I'll read out the story and then I'll explain it. So Jacob settled again in the land of Canaan, where his father had lived as a foreigner. This is the account of Jacob and his family. When Joseph was 17 years old, he often tended his father's flocks. He worked for his half-brothers, the sons of his father's wives, Bilhah and Zilpah. But Joseph reported to his father some of the bad things his brothers were doing. Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day, Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe. But his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them. They couldn't say a kind word to him. One night, Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. Listen to this dream, he said. We were out in the field, tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly, my bundle stood up. And your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before mine. His brothers responded, so you think you will be our king, do you? Do you actually think you will reign over us? And they hated him all the more because his dreams and the way he talked to them. Soon Joseph had another dream, and again he told his brothers about it. Listen, I had another dream, he said. The sun, moon, and 11 stars bowed low before me. This time he told the dream to his father, as well to his brothers. But his father scolded him. What kind of dream is that? He asked. Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow to the ground before you? But while his brothers were jealous of Joseph. His father wondered what the dreams meant. Soon after this, Joseph's brothers went to pasture their father's flocks at Shechem. When they had been gone for some time, Jacob said to Joseph, "Your brothers are pasturing the sheep at Shechem. Get ready, and I will send you to them." "I'm ready to go," Joseph replied. "Go and see how your brothers and the flocks are getting along," Jacob said. "Then come back and bring me a report." So Jacob sent him all the way, and Joseph traveled to Shechem from their home in the valley of Hebron. When he arrived there, a man from the area noticed him wandering around the countryside. "What are you looking for?" he asked. "I'm looking for my brothers," Joseph replied. "Do you know where they are pasturing their sheep?" "Yes," the man told him. "They have moved on from here, but I heard them say, let's go on to Dothan." So Joseph followed his brothers to Dothan and found them there. When Joseph's brothers saw him coming, they recognized him in the distance. As he approached, they made plans to kill him. "Here comes the dreamer," they said. I'm going to stop there. "Here comes the dreamer," they says. You know, and they all got jealous and they wanted to get rid of him. So the story goes on. And what he actually done was the coat that his father bought for him was a multicolored coat, the Bible tells us. And to have a coat like that back in them days was a blessing. And it was a sign, you know, that you are well-to-do and that you are favored in the household. And his brothers wanted to kill him, but one of them had a bit of a guilty conscience. So they threw him in a well in the middle of a desert. And these Egyptian traders came along and they found him and they took him back to Egypt as a slave. So Joseph, coming from a household like that where he was the favorite son, he had the coat, going from that, going on to Egypt to be a slave, you know. When you really, really think of Joseph, it must have been very, 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 very tough for him to be carted off as a slave. He ended up in a house, and the master of the household was called Potiphar. And Joseph was put in charge of a few jobs at first, and then anything he touched, you know, things just prospered. So Potiphar saw it, and he put him in charge of the whole household. And then during that time, Potiphar's wife, you know, she fancied Joseph. He was a good-looking guy, the Bible tells us. He was 17, 18 years old. A good-looking fellow like myself, you know. Fortunately, the women aren't chasing me, though. But anyway, she fancied Joseph. And, you know, because she was a married woman, and Joseph really, really loved God. You know, if you read the story, you'll realize that Joseph really loved God. When she came for him to have sex with him, he ran. And when he ran, she cried wolf. And she started saying that he tried to rape her. So she got him thrown into prison. He was thrown into prison. He was put in charge of it, small jobs in there. And then again, anything he touched prospered. So he was put in charge of all the best jobs in prison. You see, the whole time, God's grace and favor. And with grace comes favor. That's what God has been showing me over the last few weeks. With grace comes favor. It's an automatic thing. You know, and anything that Joseph put his hands to just prospered, even in the depths of a prison, because prisons would have been underground back then, you know. They didn't have high towers like Mountjoy and all them other places. So there were dungeons. So he was down there for years. And then the cupbearer and the baker, the king's cupbearer and the king's baker, you know, they get into trouble and they were thrown into prison. And one night he had these dreams and they were puzzled by the dreams. And Joseph knew what the dreams meant because Joseph had a gift from God. And it was a gift of prophecy. Dreams are a prophecy, you know. And he was able to interpret dreams, you know. And the very first week I was up in Tiglin, I used to have these dreams every single night of all crazy stuff from my past, of guns and shootings and all that horrible stuff. Every single night I had these dreams. And one night I got on my knees and I said, "Lord, please take these dreams away from me." And that night I went to sleep and I actually had the most beautiful dream in the world, and God was in the dream. He was omnipresent in the dream. It was beautiful. It was like I was in heaven. There was green pastures and what's called them little yellow flowers again? Little yellow ones, huh? Yeah, buttercups. Yeah, millions of them all. And it was gorgeous, it was, you know. And it's mad because when I think back, my dad used to bring me to a river when I was a kid, and there was all fields full of buttercups, you know. And that's only come to me now, even as I'm saying, so thank you, Lord, for that. And, so that night I went to sleep and I had a dream, and it was the most beautiful dream in the world, and God was in it. He was omnipresent. And from that night on, my dream stopped. Gone, 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 you know. And from that night on, I've had prophetic dreams from that day to this day today, and I love my dreams from God. They're very, very powerful, and He tells me a lot and shows me a lot in them. So from day one, God always spoke to me through the story with Joseph, you know, and about His grace and His favor and His love. And not just for me or Joseph, for every single one of you here today in the church. Because don't forget, my first time over in the corner, I wanted to scarp around it all. I was like, get away, quick. Oh, I was mad, but I didn't. And that was God's grace in my life, you know. Came from a lot of crazy, crazy stuff. I wasn't a nice person. You know, I was a horrible person. I really was. I've been reflecting on that lately as well. So Joseph was able to interpret the dreams of the cupbearer and the baker. And he told them what the dreams meant. He says to one fella, he says to the cupbearer, he says, in 3 days, you're going to get out here and you're going to go back and serve the king. And he says to the other fella, in 3 days, you're going to be impaled on a spike and you're going to be head off, chop, you're gone. You know, and the boards will be pecking on your head. So in any case, that came true. And Joseph says to the cupbearer when he's getting out, he says, don't forget me. He says, remember I'm down here, you know, and the cupbearer made all these promises and off he went. He forgot about Joseph quick enough. So off he goes back serving the king, and then he's the cupbearer, and the baker was impaled on a spike, as Joseph says. And then all of a sudden the king started having these dreams, and the king was really, really troubled by the dreams. So he got all his sorcerers and all these people who were around the king at the time into witchcraft and sorcery and all that different type of stuff that thought they could tell the future and knew everything about dreams and all the prophetic stuff and all that. And not one of them could tell the king what the dreams meant. And he was getting angry and angry and angry. And he actually turned around and says, he says, you know, if you get someone who can interpret my dreams, I'll give them anything they want, basically. And one day then, the king had more dreams and he was troubled again. Then the cupbearer was pouring his drink and he remembered Joseph in the prison. And he says to the king, he says, I know someone who'll be able to interpret your dreams. So he went and got Joseph, washed him up, put on new clothes like Ian has on today down there, and brought him up in front of the king. Yeah, I get you back for that one. And got you back in front of the king, you know. So the king says to him, you know, I heard you can tell me what my dreams meant. And he says, no. He says, no. It's like me talking to you up here today. It's not me. I rely on Jesus for every single word that comes out of my mouth. He says, no. He says, I can't, but God can. My God can. He says, okay, ask your God. And he told him. Joseph, God told Joseph exactly what the dreams meant. Joseph told the king that a famine was coming on the land. He had so many years to prepare for it and so many years to store food up for it. And whatever he told the king everything that was going to happen. And the king says, right, he says, you're the only person that could interpret my dreams. He says, I'm putting you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Joseph became the prime minister of Egypt. Back then, Egypt was the richest country, I'd say, in the world. It was huge, it was prospering, it was rich, it was vibrant, it had everything. It's where all the parties were, all the nightlife. If you look back on it today, you'd look at Las Vegas or something, where all the money and the cars and the flash and all that, but it was bigger than that. So much bigger than all that. And Joseph was put in charge of all the land. And he put everything in place. God gave him his wisdom and he put everything in place. So you see, from the day Joseph was born to that day, God was always with him. God's grace followed him every single way he went. And you know, when I talk about the toilet, entering the throne room of grace, and God told me, you are in the throne room of grace. You know, but you have to know that you're in the throne room of grace to actually walk in that grace. I really, really mean that around my heart. You know, and I pray that the Holy Spirit gives every single one of you a revelation of that today. More, I haven't lived out grace more in my whole life than I have in the last 4 weeks. I haven't really prayed to God much. I haven't really read my Bible much. But God loves me the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He knows me hurt. He knows I love Him. He knows I'm struggling. And in every single one of your struggles, God's grace is there. It doesn't matter what that struggle is, or what it looks like, or what it feels like. God's grace is there for every single one of us. And all morning I've been hearing people saying, even in the rally call, you know, that there's something here that's not of God. People are going through stuff. And even up here again today, it was being said. And I'm like, yeah, this is God's grace. And this is what God wants to say to you is today, is that He loves you unconditionally. You know, He wants to bring you into his household. It's like Jay said, the banquet table this morning. He wants to bring us into his household and give us everything. Everything. And he gave us everything. He gave his son, Jesus Christ. When you think of grace, you think of Jesus on the cross. Jesus going to the cross. Jesus getting whipped. Getting bet with a reed stick. Getting spat upon. Insulted. The Son of God himself. And he's done that for every single one of us in here. So how much more do I want to love God? I want to serve God with all my heart. I don't always get it right. Sometimes I get it wrong. I don't intentionally do that. I'm not perfect. None of us are. And God is not asking us to be perfect. He's just asking us to realize that his grace is actually there for you in your walk. This month has gone around with whips, spiritual whips in our hands, whipping ourselves, being hard on ourselves. Well, because I fell short and I'm about to fall, about getting back up. Say our sorry to the Lord and move on wherever it is in your life. Stop whipping ourselves. You know, stop giving the enemy a foothold in our lives because he just wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to rip us out of it. But God is so much bigger and so much more powerful than anything. There is no other but him. It is him. And his name is Jesus. You know, I don't focus on the enemy in my life. I focus on Jesus. It's a great walk with Jesus. Skipping and jumping, and you know, we have our tough times as Christians. And even if you're here today and you're not a Christian, you have your tough times, and anyways, every single one of us. And that's why we need to know more about God's grace in our lives. So, Joseph, he went on, he put a plan in place, and he made these big, huge storehouses and stored up tons and tons of food. I think it was 7 years the famine was going for. And all the lands around Egypt, the famine hit them too. And anyone that was getting food out of the storehouses had to go through Joseph. He was the man there with the board going, yeah, you can have X amount. They'd pay him the gold or silver, wherever it was. And one day he saw his brothers coming because the famine hit Israel as well, hit their land as well. And one day he saw his brothers coming and he didn't recognize them and he turned his back and started crying. He cried. They wanted to kill him and he sees them coming. I'd have probably killed mine, but there you go. No, I guess I wouldn't. But that was the compassion of God in his heart. And that was grace right there. That was grace. He turned his back and he cried with compassion for them because he was so overjoyed. I reckon he was so overjoyed from seeing his brothers. Could you imagine being away from your dad who loved you more than anything in the world? You were the apple of his eye. And not only that, I know Joseph's brothers hated him, but I know he didn't hate them. He loved them. Because he knew who God was in his life. You know, when I'd be walking in the lighthouse, I get certain people and they can really challenge the life out of you and your Christianity and stuff like that. And sometimes they go out of their way to kind of try and get under my skin. And when they really think they're getting there, I just look at them and smile. Do you know what I'm going to do? And they say, well, I just turn around and say, I'm just going to keep on loving you. And they'll be like, what? And you know, I'm serious when I say it. And you know what? They're actually my best friends today. Isn't it amazing how God does that? It really, really is. And he loved his brothers. Joseph did. I know he did. So he ended up, the story goes on, he ended up taking one of his brothers and he sent the rest on with loads of food and he put the gold back in the sacks. And he wanted the brothers to go and get the dad and the rest of the family and bring them into Egypt so he could look after the whole family. You know, but when his brothers approached him, they bowed low before him. And just like his dream said, that they'd all bow low before him, because they were all prophetic dreams. So eventually his dad comes to the land of Egypt, and his brother gave them all plots of land all throughout Egypt, and they lived happily ever after. You know, and that was God's grace in Joseph's life, not just Joseph's, but his whole family's. And God's grace is not just for you today, it's for your whole families. It's for your sons, your daughters, your grandchildren. In the last year I spent with my mother, I really got to share with her a lot about Jesus, and I prayed with her a lot. And you know, I have really great memories of my mom now, because we'd lie down in the armchair together, looking at movies and stuff like that. And the night she died, I knew she was gone, and I put my hands on her and I started praying with her. And I was roaring and crying, and I was crying and crying and crying, but I didn't stop praying. I just kept praying and praying and praying. I really felt God so powerfully all over it. You know, you hear these horror stories of people dying from cancer. Some of them die kicking and screaming. My mom didn't complain about pain once. in that whole year. Not even the night she died, the day she died, the day before that week. Not once. Because God took all that away from her. My ma died in her sleep throughout the night in a peaceful, peaceful death. You know, and that was God's grace and God's promise in my life. You know, that he looked, not just look after me, but look after me ma, me dad, me brothers and sisters, and me sons and daughters. And I am a granddad, and I love it. And my grandchildren, you know, and God has restored, as God restored back all of Joseph's family to him, God has restored all of my family back to me. You know, I spent 15 years in prison. I was a drug dealer, an armed robber, all of the above. I was the worst of the worst. I put you in the hospital for basically nothing. And I have many times, and I hate even thinking back on that stuff because that was a horrible, horrible guy that was. You know, and I really shouldn't be standing here talking to you today, and I know that. You know, from the person that was over there that day to the person who I am today. You know, God's grace has just manifested itself in my life so, 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 so much. And I love my life today. And sometimes my life is a real struggle, but it doesn't matter because I love Jesus, I love God, and I love my life, and I love my friends, I love the church. I love who God is in my life. You know, and I won't hold back from telling people about Jesus because when I get to heaven, I want to see them up there with me. I want them all rejoicing together, every single one of us. In Ephesians 2:8-9. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for that. It is a gift from God. I'm going to read it again because I really like that scripture. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. You know, when God gives us gifts, he doesn't give us something and then take it away. It's a gift. You know, you get a gift every Christmas, and when you get a gift, you have to open the gift. And when you open gifts, you always go, oh, wow, thanks very much, and you love it, and you really appreciate it, you know. How much more does God love you if God says he's given you a gift, and he wants us to walk in that gift? And a friend of mine, Jason Rafferty, told me a story there a while ago about this guy who died and he went to heaven. And in the Bible it says that God is preparing rooms in the mansion for every single one of us. And Jesus was bringing this guy through the house and he's saying, you know, he was saying what was in all the rooms as he was going by. Jesus was telling this guy what was in all the rooms as he was going by through the mansion. You know, and Jesus was bringing this guy to his own room. And then he got to this particular room. It was a huge, 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 massive room. And in this room, it was full of gifts, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of gifts, and they were so beautifully wrapped. And the guy stopped and he said to Jesus, he says, what are all them for in there? And he goes, they're the gifts that my father has prepared for his sons and daughters, but he never come to collect them. Never come to collect them. And you know, for the last 7 years, I knew about grace, and it's a gift from God, and I always knew God's grace is on my life. Of course it is, but have I actually walked in that and lived it out my own life? Because God wants you today to receive that gift of grace and to walk in that gift. It's not something that you just put in a rucksack and throw on your back and walk down the road, but this is a proper gift from God. Now, this gift will get you from here to eternity until we meet the Lord again in the sky. You know, he wants you to know that it's there and it's available. And you have to receive something to get it. You have to put out your hands to take something off someone. You know, God wants you to take that from him today, his grace. If his son wasn't enough on the cross, what is? And that's the truth. It really, really is. In Hebrews 4:16. Oh, it is up there, yeah. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. Like I said, the heading of this is entering the throne room of grace. So you see, we can honestly step up today and put our hands out in faith and say, God, I'm taking the gift of grace that you have for me. I'm entering your throne room today and here I am, Father. but you really believe that in your heart that he has that for you. You have to step out as a Christian. You have to believe as a Christian. You know, that I know a lot of people in this church today who serve ministry-wise, who serve the church day in, day out, endlessly. And you know what? I take off my hat to every single one of us. I really mean that. When someone says to me during the day that, you know, when you're called to serve, God's grace is there for that. There's a measure of grace there for that. You know, grace, you'll hear people saying, you know, grace, you know, but I know there's a lot of new people here today, so we'll kind of just break it down a little bit. Grace, G-R-A-C-E, God's response at Christ's expense. Or it's God's riches at Christ's expense. But whatever which way you look at it, it's at Christ's expense. He loves you with all of his heart. My grandchildren, I love with all my heart. I shouldn't have my grandchildren back in my life. I shouldn't even have my daughters back in my life. I shouldn't even have my family back in my life. And that's the truth. I really, really shouldn't. You know, for the I caused an awful lot of people trouble out there. My family, ex-girlfriends, everybody. Everybody brought nothing but trouble through our doors. You know, gave my life a misery through my drug taking and criminality and all that other stuff. But yet, I have them all back in my life. And the funny thing is, I was the black sheep of the family, now I'm the shining light in the family. And that's God's grace in my life. You know. But that's just not God's grace in my life. It's for your life, and it's in your life. And I know a lot of people in here. Jason Rafferty's married. Idella Sullivan. I know her as Whelan because our brother was a good friend of mine. All married, Louise, everyone is at the front here. Incredible crowd of people who serve this church week in, week out. I take my hat off to every single one of you because I know it's not easy. Because I'm out there doing it myself, you know. And if any of you ever want to step up and step out and let God in there, you know, talk to the leadership of the church. You want to come to the lighthouse, come down and talk to Derek Richardson over there. He's badgering me all week about announcing it. He was, yeah, you better announce the lighthouse. I'm looking away from you. I'm going to preach. Well, praise God from my love and around my heart. He's a great guy, you know. My 12-year-old daughter, I'm going running with her on Monday because she runs cross country with the school and she's really, really good at it. And I run in anyways. And I'm going to get her a proper pair of running runners, Asics. And I got all our running gear the other day, the bottoms and tops and all that. But she's come running with me on Monday. Imagine that. Like running with me, little 12-year-old girl. Like, you know, it's incredible. God has just blown me away in the midst of all the madness of losing my man, everything else going on in my life. In Acts 4:6, I didn't give these two scriptures for a reason. I don't like giving the church loads of scriptures to put up on the screen because it's a little bit of work getting them up sometimes. So in Acts 4:6, it says, "Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among people." Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power. You know, when God gives us something, he wants us to share that gift with other people. He wants us to share grace with one another. We're our neighbors, we're our friends, we're our workers, co-workers, sons and daughters, whoever it may be in our lives. You know, sometimes we hang on to that and go, I'm not sharing this, I want it all to myself. But God says release and give and he'll pour and pour and he'll pour and he'll keep pouring. You'll never outdo God in anything, never ever. In Ephesians 4:7, "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." You see, God gives you exactly what you need. And he'll even give you more. Just so you know that you have it. But he'll give you exactly what you need. You'll never be short in walking in God's grace. So today, I believe in faith, as we stand up, we get the worship team back up. But as we all stand up, you know, in faith that we're all going to walk into that throne room of grace here today. And we're going to receive that gift from God. Every single one of us. So if you believe, I'm not asking you to stand up. I'm only saying if you believe in your heart, stand up out of your chair. Because it's between you and God here today. And it's between me and God, what goes on in my life. And if you're standing up, I'd just like you to put your hands out in front of you to receive that gift from God. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time, Almighty God. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for your gift of grace through your Son, Jesus Christ. And in faith, Father, we put out our hands to receive your gift. And we open that gift. And Father, I just pray that you pour that grace into our hearts, Almighty God, and that your Holy Spirit will come, Almighty God, and bring fresh revelation, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. We thank you, Lord Jesus, Lord God, that you are the Son of God, that you are the grace of God, Lord Jesus, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, as we come boldly in your throne room, Almighty God, that your grace is flowing from your throne, Lord, right down to here, Almighty God, into our hearts, into our souls, into our spirits, Almighty God, into our families, our loved ones, our kids, our children. We prophesy and speak it over their lives in this day in Jesus Christ's name. As your word says, Father, if we are saved, the whole household is saved. We pray for every single new person in here today, Almighty God, that they open their hearts, Lord, and actually win there, Lord Jesus. That you actually win, Lord God, to receive your grace, Almighty God. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your love and kindness, Lord God. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name.